Okay, take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. That'll be the last time we sing the Abraham song in a while, because this is the last part of the Bible that we're going to look at about Abraham. This is the final account of his life in Genesis 25. And so we're going to look at this evening. And I'll just start by reading the first 11 verses. And Genesis 25, beginning in verse 1. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimram, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan begat Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim, and Letushim, and Lumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanok, and Abida, and Eldah, and all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts, and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 365 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well in Lahairoi. So here we have the final words about Abraham, the final days of his life. And we didn't sing Father Abraham had many sons, but maybe we could have sang that. It's true. And from this passage here tonight, I want you to see three things that Father Abraham did have in addition to his many sons. And the first thing that he had that goes along with his many sons was Father Abraham had faith in God. Father Abraham had faith in God. And we see that up to the last point of his life. The Bible makes it clear that that's the main lesson that we get out of the life of Abraham. He was a man of faith. We see in the Bible that his faith in God was rewarded with righteousness. And that's the teaching of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4. And you remember that Paul is teaching there about how a man is right with God, can be right with God, how a man can be justified by faith. And he's declared righteous if he believes on Jesus Christ. And Paul in chapter 4 uses Abraham as an illustration. And just read those verses, Romans 4:20. Talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And that is a fact that is told to us there in Genesis 15, where God promises Abraham the descendants like the stars of the sky. And it says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It was imputed to his account because he believed. And that's one of the most wonderful truths in the Scriptures, that we can be righteous. We can have a right standing before God in his sight just by believing. Not by trying to earn our way to heaven, but just believing. Turning from our sin accepting God's promises to be true about Jesus Christ, about what God has promised for the future. And God says he'll grant you righteousness. That's amazing. And that's what happened to Abraham. Abraham is the eternal illustration of that fact in the scripture. His faith in God was rewarded with righteousness. But there's another fact that goes along with the truth that he had faith in God. And that's really what we see over and over again in Abraham's life. His faith in God not only was rewarded with righteousness, but it was made visible by his works. His faith in God was made visible by his works. Paul, the apostle, wasn't the only apostle to use Abraham as an illustration of something. There was another one, and that apostle was James. And the important truth that James teaches is that faith, a true faith, is a faith that works. And in James chapter 2, James teaches, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works." And then he goes down and illustrates that truth with Abraham. James 2:21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." And we see the opposite truth there that James teaches about Abraham. Abraham had a life that demonstrated his faith was real. The actions that we see in Abraham's life were the evidence that he truly did believe in God. And James makes reference to that when God told him, "Go and offer your son on the altar." And Abraham obeyed. Why did he obey? He obeyed because he believed God. He believed that he should do what God told him to do. Somebody a long time ago said this, "It's faith alone that justifies, but the faith that justifies is never alone." Faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies is never alone. And we need to be reminded about that. That there should be something in our lives that says, I do believe in God. And that's what we see here in Genesis 25. Coming back here to Genesis 25, we see two more actions that show Abraham's faith. The first one is his decision to remarry. Say, how does that show Abraham's faith? He just got remarried, and how does that show his faith? Well, I think it shows that Abraham believed God's promise that he would be a father of many nations. Abraham had Ishmael already. He had Isaac, the son of promise, and I think perhaps that there was an understanding in Abraham's mind that God was going to make good on that promise still that he gave to him. Genesis chapter 17, verse 4, God told him, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." And that's why his name was changed. Verse 5, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." And so Abraham takes another wife. And her name is Keturah, we're told. We don't know anything about her really. But we do know that she bore him several more children. And we know that those children became the heads of nations. One is very familiar to us in verse 2. Midian is one of the children that she bore. And we go on to the book of Judges and we learn about the Midianites and the trouble that they caused for Gideon and the Israelites. But God was making good on his promise there in that decision to remarry. And that was in spite of the condition of his body. I read Romans 4, but there in Romans 4, what I already read, verse 19, it says that Abraham, being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. And Abraham is older than that now. He's older than 100 years old. And God was the one who brought this about, because Abraham's body was dead. It was not, he wasn't physically dead, but in terms of having children, there was, that ability was not there. But God made good on his promise here. Abraham believed that promise, and so he remarries. But then we see another way that Abraham's faith is made visible here, and that is through his dealing with his descendants. Through his dealing with his descendants. And we see what he did in verses 5 and 6 there. Before he died, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he lived eastward unto the east country. Abraham hadn't forgot about the promise that he made, that God made to Isaac, that Isaac would be the son of promise, the one that he would fulfill his covenant to, his promise to. And so Abraham recognizes that and makes provision for that, and makes sure that Isaac is the one who has the land. The others get sent away. And he deals with them because he believes the promise that he received from God. And he looked for God to continue that promise through Isaac, even though Abraham wasn't there. He saw ahead through faith, and that dictated what his actions were. His faith was made visible by his works. We see another example of that here. Is that something that can be said about your life? Can somebody look at your life and say, all right, I see some things that show that you're a believer? Or do they look at your life and they say, why aren't you obeying? You say you're a Christian. Why aren't you doing the things that God wants you to do? This week in the Bible Club, the theme is obedience. And I think it'll be the theme this next week as well. But, that's really important. That if you claim to be a Christian, boy, it's really important that you obey. That's what God wants you to do. That shows that you are really a Christian, that you're not just saying something and then doing the other. I read a story about a man out west who used to come into the town and hitch up his post in front of the town saloon and go in and get drunk. And he used to do that all the days. And then one day, something happened. He went down to the church and he got saved. But he still kept coming into the town and bringing his horse in, and he'd tie it up there in front of the saloon and go somewhere else. Then somebody told him, ever since you've been saved, that's great, but what you really need to do is change your hitching post. Maybe you need to make some changes there in your life to where you're parking your car and your horse every time you come into town. But trying to get the man to realize, all right, you say you have faith. Where's the change? Where's the evidence that something is different in your life? There needs to be that. There was in Abraham's life here. Real faith produces real changes. There will be things that you do because you believe God. There should be things that are observable in your life that are different. We shouldn't be the kind of Christians that just are in name only, Christian in name only, but not in life. That's not the kind of Christian that Abraham was. That's not the kind of believer that Abraham was. It showed in his life. So Father Abraham had faith in God. We see that up until the last point of his life. And isn't it encouraging that we still see that at the end of his life? You know, there's other people in Scripture that we don't see that at the end of their lives. We think about Solomon. He started well, but he didn't end well. But what a blessing it is to see Abraham, who starts well, and he goes up and down. He has his trials and troubles, but then at the end of his life, he still has faith in God, and we see that. So Father Abraham, yes, he had many sons, but he also had faith in God, and that's why he had many sons. But then notice the second thing here in this passage, verses 7 through 10. Father Abraham had life in God. Father Abraham had life in God. If you're reading the paper, when Abraham died here, I don't know if there was a newspaper, but if you were reading it, you would see in the next couple days an obituary. Abraham, 175 years old, dies. And that's what we have here in verses 7 through 10. The obituary for Abraham, his notice is here. But it tells us that he had life in God. And he had a full life. The text tells us, verse 7, he was 175 when he died. Verse 8, Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. He had a full life. And notice that the words "of years" are in italics here. And that tells us one possible interpretation of the text there, the Hebrew words. But another interpretation could be Abraham had a full life. He lived a life that was, brought him satisfaction. It was full. And that could be a meaning of that word, full. And so we think back on Abraham's life. And at different points in his life, there may have been times when we would have questioned whether, when the natural man would have questioned whether Abraham was really going to have a full life. When at 75 years old, he uproots his family and leaves his father's house and hometown and goes to a place that he doesn't know yet. Would the world say that's the way to have a full life? No, you plant down your roots, don't move. Just enjoy it where you are. And then we come to the passage that tells us about Lot and the times when Abraham had to go rescue Lot. And then the time when Abraham gave Lot that first choice. And what did Lot choose? He chose the best for himself. And we would say, Abraham, what were you thinking? That's not the way to have a full life. That's not the way to have satisfaction in life. But we see that Abraham had that in spite of that. We might question it when Abraham comes back from rescuing Lot and he actually defeats the enemies of the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom comes to him and says, here, Abraham, I want you to have this blessing or this money as a reward. And Abraham says, no, I cannot take that from you. We would say, what are you thinking, Abraham? He's just offering you what you need. You deserve that. But Abraham says no. He sees the way to have a full life is to please God in what he does. Not to live a life for himself, thinking about what he needs out of life. Abraham lived a full life. 175 years. And God gave him satisfaction. All his expectations granted in life. God gave him that. He had a full life. But then we see in verse 8 that Abraham had a future life. Look at verse 8. Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. He was gathered to his people. And that's not just a reference to the cave there at Machpelah where Sarah was buried. He was buried there, but Abraham was gathered to his people. The Bible describes Abraham's death as a reunion. He was gathered to his people. Perhaps those were people in his family, maybe people back there at Ur that truly came to know God. Perhaps they were the people even before that, Noah and his sons, the people that tried to follow God, that believed God. Those are the true family that we have, fellow believers. And the Bible teaches that when we die, we are reunited with them. We don't just go and be in the grave. We're not just in a state of existence where we don't know anything. We are gathered to our people as Christians. And that's what Abraham experienced. He had a reunion. He experienced his future life as a reunion. He was gathered to his people. And you know, Abraham was looking forward to that. So how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us that he was. And over in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, I want you to hear again what Abraham was looking for. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And that's all in description of the attitude of Abraham. Back in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Abraham was looking for that city. It says, and heavenly, a better country, and heavenly. And somehow Abraham knew to be expecting that. Whatever revelation Abraham had, he knew, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm a pilgrim in this land, a stranger and a pilgrim. And Abraham anticipated that. And we know with certainty that Abraham experiences that today. And we know that because Jesus Christ gave testimony to that. And when he was arguing with the Sadducees about the reality of the resurrection, Christ himself tells them, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And that's the testimony of Christ, that Abraham is living. He's living. He has a future life. And if we need it anymore, we have the words of Abraham there in Luke chapter 16, where the rich man is there in hell, and he has some communication there with Abraham, in Abraham's bosom. And Abraham says to him that we have Moses and the prophets, and that's sufficient. If they won't hear God's revelation, they won't hear anyone who comes back from the dead. But Abraham says that. And Abraham has a future life. And that's a future life that we can experience as well, with certainty, if we believe God. And he counts it to us for righteousness. So Father Abraham had faith in God. Father Abraham had life in God. And then Father Abraham had a faithful God. Father Abraham had a faithful God. We see that God was faithful to Abraham's physical descendants. We see that there in verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son, Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. God keeps his promise to Abraham through his son Isaac. He blesses Isaac. And we read on in Genesis that Isaac is now the main character in his family. And then his sons through him. And God continues that faithfulness even to his people Israel. And even at a time when Israel is in bondage at the beginning of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24, it talks about what Israel was there experiencing. In verse 23, it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham. So even though they were there in Egypt suffering, God didn't forget about the promise he made to Abraham. God didn't forget about Abraham's physical descendants. And then we read all the way to the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, and the very first verse. And it says that Jesus Christ is the son of David, the son of Abraham. And God keeps his promise all the way up to the coming of the Messiah, the man in which he would bless all the nations of the earth. And God keeps his promise to Abraham's physical descendants. God was faithful to them. And God is faithful to Abraham's spiritual descendants. And here's where we come back to the song. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. And that's a truth in the Bible. Galatians chapter 3 tells us about that. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So God is faithful not only to Abraham's physical descendants, but God is faithful to Abraham's spiritual descendants. And those of us that are truly believers in Christ are sons of Abraham because of our faith. Because we believe God, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him and to us for righteousness. So Father Abraham, we see in his life, he had faith in God. He had life in God. God gave him a full life. God gave him future life, as he'll give to each one of us who come to God. And God, and Father Abraham had a faithful God. And that's the same God that we serve, that is faithful to his children. And if we believe God, we are the sons of Abraham, the spiritual sons of Abraham. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example of a man in the Bible who demonstrates to us faith. Faith that takes God at his word, and faith that demonstrates itself, that proves itself with action, with obedience. And we pray that you would help our lives to be like that. We thank you for the future life that we can expect as Abraham looked forward to and was gathered to his people, that great reunion in the future. And we pray that you would help our faith to be fully in you and to be fully trusting in you as our faithful God. We thank you for your faithfulness, your consistency. that we see in the Scripture, that we see in our own lives. Help us not to doubt that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take